Hi everyone, this is Marissa Santoro with In Our Shoes and Gutsy Leadership Academy. Welcome. Today I have a special podcast for you and a featured guest. His name is Antonio Santiago, and Antonio is also a leadership trainer who teaches the same success principles that is weaved into the Gutsy Leadership curriculum based on energy, based on intuition, and very much based on the law of attraction. Antonio is also a certified life coach in the law of attraction, and he is one inspiring, motivational spirit that I could not wait to have you meet today. Antonio, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me, Marissa. Thank you so much. I'm excited to do this.
Yeah, so am I. So Antonio is partnering with me here at In Our Shoes, and today we're going to be diving into exactly what those success principles are. And, you know, I'll just kick this off here, Antonio, because I know that you live and breathe this work. The success principles is really a lifestyle, right? And really something where we give ourselves permission to design and create the life that we want professionally and personally. I know that I focus primarily on the professional goals and supporting professionals and achieving the things they want, but really it's not limited to that at all. It's really across the board. So let's talk a bit about where you see yourself, so how your life has changed from these success principles, and I'd love to hear, you know, your point of view and sharing whatever comes up for you as we go through them to support the audience. Does that sound good?
Sounds great to me. Let's dive right in.
Okay, great. Okay, so the first principle of Gutsy Leadership is taking 100% responsibility for your life and for your results. And really what this boils down to is, you know, we need to give up blaming and complaining and become more solution-oriented around the events that are happening in our life and being really responsible for, you know, everything, who we eat, what we eat, who we hang out with, and really recognizing that, you know, we are 100% responsible for what happens in our day-to-day life and our physical reality. And Antonio, where would you say taking, you know, this principle has fit into your life? For me, it's been across the gamut on parenting, career, business, you name it. Where have you found, especially when you're as a coach, a law of attraction coach, where have you found this principle show up in your life?
Well, for me, once I realized that I had full control in the choices that I made, because I wasn't realizing that I was creating everything in my life. I was reacting to things. And I thought that I was reacting to things that were happening to me. And I didn't realize that I was creating them. And once I realized that I was creating everything based on how I was thinking and feeling, then that would give me an outcome. The moment I started realizing all these things, then as I made very deliberate choices in where I wanted to guide myself, then I started seeing everything shifting for me. So in small little steps, you know, and it's not an overnight thing, you know, the same way if you put on weight and you put on 50 or 100 pounds, they don't show up overnight. They show up gradually. So you have to make that shift into the direction that you want to go to and take little steps building that momentum, that trajectory going into that direction. So I realized that for my life, who I interacted with on a daily basis, whether friends, family, coworkers, as I alienated myself from, from people that were negative, and I focused more on me and where I wanted to go, I attracted people that were positive. But I couldn't do that until I realized that I was negative myself also. So once I realized that, I'm like, okay, I don't want to hang out with that crowd anymore. I want to hang out with that crowd. I needed to make a change in myself first in order for me to attract what it is that I wanted. So that's why by taking that responsibility, yes, and that taking not only responsibility, but also taking inventory of who are you, where are you going, what are you doing, what are your daily actions, your steps, your thoughts, how are you think, how do you think, how do you feel? You know, taking inventory, once you take inventory, then Now you're taking responsibility and you can take action into where you want to go. But until you don't do that, you can't just say, oh, I'm going that way. But then you have no idea. You don't have a blueprint, a game plan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I love how you mentioned the feeling and how you want to feel, because I talk a lot about, it's really fundamental to what I teach is, you know, when professionals are showing up, it's not really what they're saying. It is important to know what you have to say, but it's not so much what you are saying. It's who you want to be and how you want to feel. And even in the personal front, right, you mentioned weight, health, you know, taking stock of your life, taking stock of your friendship, setting up your environment for success. Really covering the entire board, and looking at all the different areas of your life and really asking yourself, how do I want to feel? And am I feeling good, right? You mentioned negative relationships. Am I feeling good with this friendship or this family member? And really taking a step back. And I do agree with you. We are co-creators of our life. And I think that's really probably the most, this is probably the most important principle, isn't it, in the entire spectrum is that, you know, am I creating my reality or is it happening to me, right? Isn't that the question? And most of us walk around thinking things are being done to us, when in reality, as you kicked off here, is we are co-creating the things that are happening in our physical reality, aren't we?
1,000%. You can look at anything that you want that's happening to you. You are the common denominator because you are involved. It doesn't mm-hmm. matter if it's mm-hmm. in your personal life, your work life, in your relationships, friendships, any type of relationship, because everything is a relationship. You are the common denominator because you're involved in everything.
That's right. And it's how you relate to others. And also, I'll just add to that. I love that you said that. I'll just add, it's also about self-awareness. If you really know yourself and are aware of how you're being perceived and how others are perceiving you, then you can make that shift. A lot of times we're in our own heads. We don't realize we may say something or do something that may rub off, you know, someone the wrong way. But getting back to energy, you know, I do believe that, people feel that you're coming from a good place, and it doesn't necessarily matter what you're doing, but really setting that intention, isn't it? Like setting the intention of what those relationships look like and going from there.
Yes.
Now, there's a key formula that we teach called E plus R equal O. E are the events that are happening in our life that, you know, we seemingly have no control over, or it seems that way. And R is our response to those events. It's our point of power. Is it a response or a reaction? And O is the outcome. And so, you know, we all know Einstein's theory, which is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a new and different set of results. Well, that's crazy, right? Why would we expect that difference when we're not willing to change our response? So when we change the response to these events, that's when we are able to create that wild and different outcome. So it's a really powerful equation. It's as universal as 2 + 2 = 4. But the reality is if you want 16, then you have to work and do things, you know, 4 times different, so to speak, in order to get, you know, to a different result.
An event. Someone, you get into an argument with someone, right? Well, somebody starts arguing with you for whatever reason, and they start yelling at you. That's the event. Your response is you could either argue with them, or you could take a moment and realize that, okay, they're angry, they're mad, they're frustrated, but their situation has nothing to do with me. So you could either step back and realize that that's their problem, not yours, and then the outcome is the outcome that you want, which is you're not engaging into their situation and you keep your energy high. Or you can engage into the situation. Now you're creating an atmosphere that's not going to be conducive for either party, and then the outcome is going to be something on a low energy, on a negative energy, and it could escalate into something even worse that you really don't want. So you always, by looking at your events, you always got to be mindful, try to step back and take a couple of seconds, if possible. Okay, this is happening here. Don't go into desperation mode, like, you know, that you have the fight or flight. You have to look at it and really try to analyze as fast as you can and say, okay, this is happening here. How can I address it to minimize, you know, mitigate risk here, as an example. So that way you have a greater outcome versus engaging into it and becoming part of it. And if you become part of it and you're not deliberate, you go into default, now your outcome is going to be an outcome you really don't want. So, again, like arguing with someone, or somebody argues you with is arguing with you because they're having a bad day, you go to a restaurant or a retail store and somebody loses their cool with you at the counter. Are they losing? Are they really losing their cool with you? Or is it because something that's going on in their life, they don't know how to handle it, and they just took it out on you? You right. have to be mindful of not engaging into that and saying, hey, oh, I'm sorry, you're having a bad day, I apologize, and then try to address it accordingly. And then that way you have a greater outcome, so that way you keep your energy high, you leave the store or the restaurant, and you continue on with your day at a high energy level. Because if you don't, then what happens is now you engage into that negative energy. That negative energy is going to stick with you until you clear it out from your being. Now you step out the door, you get into your car, somebody cuts you off. And it's just going to snowball into a direction you really don't want to. So that's why the ER and O is excellent, because if you break it down and look at the event, look at your response, what's the outcome that you want?
Yeah, I love that. And that's really the part that we may not pay as much time to. We don't realize that how we showed up a half hour ago in that negative situation at the restaurant or the counter will culminate into a completely different event that we don't even associate together. But yet, energetically, we've dropped our energy. Now our body is weak, and we are in a place where now we're attracting that situation or event because of that like-minded energy. That's a great example. Exactly. Yeah, yes. Really great example. Yes. And I think we can all relate to the disgruntled, person behind the counter or even in the grocery. We may have even been one of those people, right?
Because we're in a rush and the line is taking too long and we didn't really take accountability of the time and said, I got to leave here in 10 minutes and it's going to be 30 minutes. And now I'm mad and frustrated, upset, and I'm trying to rush everybody. But that's my problem, not anybody else's problem.
Right, right.
So it's very important to be present in the moment. When you're physically present and you're mentally present, you can have great outcomes. But when you're not, then that's a recipe for disaster.
So true, so true. And energy is right there. We are, the physical and body, it's all about that feeling again. I love that. Thank you for sharing those examples. I think we can all relate. Now, the next principle that we also teach is clarifying our purpose and really understanding and being clear, because clarity is really power, on why we are here on this earth. And it doesn't just relate to the career. I do work with professionals that we have to dig in and really get clear on, what their value is and what their purpose is on the job front. But now let's extend this out to the life front, as a life coach. How do you see this principle weaving into the work that you do holistically, where people who understand their purpose can clarify their vision, do experience success in their life in various areas, whether it be life, health, finances, whatever. Where do you see that? How do you see that showing up?
Well, when you ask people, what do you want? Most people are going to start going off on a tangent saying what they don't want to experience. Well, I don't want this. I don't want that. And they don't realize what they're saying and what they're doing. And for me as a coach, I automatically see where their thought pattern is, their behavior, and what they're focusing on most of the time. 99% of the time, they're all focusing on the things that they don't want to experience, the negative outcomes, why I never get the good breaks, the lucky breaks, why other people so fortunate. I've always wanted this, but I never get it. And it's because they're vibrating this energy of lack. So I can't expect them to give me their desires and goals and everything when they're vibrating like that. Now, if you catch them in a moment that they're not focusing on that and they're feeling high energy and, they listen to a nice song, they had a nice meal, a nice conversation with someone, and they're feeling better because they're not focusing on lack. All of a sudden, they're high energy. They can express what it is that they want and then be very clear in that moment. But then all of a sudden, what creeps in? Well, lack will creep in. And then all of a sudden, they start thinking, but I'll never really get that. I've never been that fortunate. Who do I know? They'll start explaining all the reasons why it could never happen to them. And that's what it is. You know, deciding what you want has to be at the forefront, and yeah. realizing how you think and feel about it.
Yeah, you know, sorry, and I talk a lot about that. Yeah, I talk a lot about that as well, because I, you know, although we walk around saying, yes, this is what we want, I want a new home, I want a new relationship, what I found in the work that I do working with others is that, you know, in myself included, you know, when I look back at the past, is a lot of us really don't know what we want, but we do know how to complain, and we do know to talk about the things that aren't working. So you're saying that mm-hmm. what's really preventing us from getting clear, if I understand you correctly, are those limiting beliefs and how we're knocking ourselves down and in turn creating that negative energy.
Of course,
which includes
1,000%.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So you really have to, get clear. And this doesn't have to be, you know, full stretch of understanding everything that you want in your life right now. You could just pick one spot in your life as a life coach. I'm sure, you know, there are people that come to you and say, I want to work on health or finances or whatever that might be. But it doesn't necessarily have to be, you know, drinking from the fire hose, right? We just need to be clear and really understand how we fit into that vision. And if we've locked it in for ourselves of what it is that we really want, because this is a feeling universe, isn't it? So I love that. Yeah.
Yes. People definitely have to get clear on what it is that they want, because if not, again, like I said before, is you have, either you're deliberate or you're going to fall into default. You're reacting mm-hmm. to your environment, and then your environment will influence the outcome of your life, because you're thinking, feeling, and believing that this is my lot in my life. Or you're either or you're going to be deliberate and realize that, yeah, okay, even though that's happening, this is what I want. This is what I have to do. And a wonderful quote that I heard was, in life, if you fail to plan, then you've already planned to fail.
So true. If you fail to plan,
you've already planned to fail.
You've already planned to fail.
Because you need a game plan. You need a game plan in life. Everything is a game plan. It doesn't matter whether you're at work, even in your relationships.
Right.
In a relationship between two people, there has to be a game plan. You get together and you're looking to get married. Now you're looking 5, 10, 20, 30 years down the road. You have to have a game plan. Whether you're having kids or retirement or vacationing or career, how you can influence each other and help each other. Everything, you need a game plan. You can't just wing it. If you're always winging it, you're never going to get the desired result you want, because you're not being strategic about it. And I've realized
right.
that I like – since I love sports so much, that in sports, in order to win a championship, there has to be a game plan and set. You just don't go out and just play. So I feel also the same thing with life. You need a game plan for everything you do in life. I mean, you can go out and spend your day and hang out, and okay, I'm going to go hang out today. You've already planned your day that you're going to go hang out, and that's perfectly fine.
Right.
But if you want to buy a home, or you want a new career, or anything that you want that's going to require a lot of effort and energy and investment into it, you need to have a game plan. If not, it's going to fall apart. It's going to be disastrous. And then you're going to want to blame someone else. And you really can't do that, because you set it up and it failed.
Yeah, which gets me back to the first principle, right? Take 100% responsibility for your results. And I love that. It's really a great segue for the next principle, which is unleashing the breakthrough goals that we want, or what I like to call the gutsy breakthrough goals, and being clear on the how much by when. So, you know, we can have a goal in our mind of what we want to achieve, but a goal is really a dream with a deadline, and it's our responsibility to make every part of our vision really measurable and specific. So I think that ties into what you were just saying, Antonio, in terms of, you know, really, really getting clear, but also having that game plan of measuring success. Do you see how with the people that you've coached and trained on, where do you see people picking a spot? Because I don't know how easy it is for people to really nail down that how much by when. I know they understand it rationally, but you know, they just throw out sort of this you know, really, really large vision, which is great, but we sort of have to make a realistic stretch. You know, when I work with clients, I always say, you know, it's great if you have a game plan or, you know, as you say, a strategy 3 to 5 years from now, but let's just work, you know, for the next year or so, or even 2 years. You know, what's a realistic stretch that will stretch you but not freeze you so much so that you don't get there because you just, you know, that game plan was way too far out. So how do we find that balance when we're talking about that how much by when to really get it down on paper and specific?
Well, what I do, so what I did with a client, she wanted to make more money at her job. And when she gave me the numbers, I said, well, how much more do you want to make? She said, well, I want to be right now ideally at like 125 to 140,000. I just don't see it happening. I said, well, why don't you see it happening? And she told me, well, because I don't know how to get there. What would I have to do? How much I would have to sell? I don't know who to talk to. I said, okay. I said, so, and you want this number, why? I said, well, it's going to allow me to live better, take care of my kids, do X, Y, and Z. I said, okay, great. Let's put that down on paper, the why, because it's going to allow you to do these things. But now you can't believe that you can't achieve that number yet, right? I said, so why don't we just take that number and let's lower it a little bit. And I lowered it to 90,000, which was only 25,000 more than what she was making. But when I lowered it, I said, okay, how does this number feel? Is this number doable? She goes, oh, yeah, I could do it like this. I could do it like that. She found ways how she could get closer to that number and what she would do. I said, okay, then that's our first goal. Let's get to 90 because once you get to 90, now you could find another way to get to 100, 110, 125. But your stretch, the gap was too big. And since the gap was too big, fear kicked in. But as I lowered the number and made it more measurable, more believable, her confidence rose. She found ways to get to it. And then, as opposed to waiting 8 months to a year to get that number was reachable within 4 months. And we did that. And matter of fact, she surpassed it. She hit 101.
Wow. I love when that happens. Yeah, you get more than you ask for.
And when she hit the 101,
right?
Exactly. And she hit the 101, and she was just like on cloud nine. She was so excited. And then I said, this is the strategy. I said, because when you make it more believable, it's more doable. But if you make the gap so far away, what happens is how. Your job is not the how. Your job is what and why. And when you do the what and the why and make it more measurable, more believable, then you can start working to it. Because if you put it too far out of a stretch, instantly everybody will give up. Like, oh, I can't do that. Oh, that's too hard. No, just because you put it so far out. But if you just make it a little bit smaller so you can get there. And the same thing with the dates. That another thing I like to share with people is this, with my clients, and I'll share with your audience is, even though you set a date is just an idea when you would like to achieve it. But if you do not achieve it by that date, at least celebrate everything you've gotten so far up to the date, everything you've accomplished till that date. So let's say, for example, I say, hey, you know, by Thanksgiving of 2018, I've lost 50 pounds. But let's say you only lost 25 or 30. You have to celebrate that success. You have to celebrate the closeness of it. And now, being happy for what you've done, because you don't want to discredit everything you've done because, oh, I didn't get the end goal, so, oh, whatever, and kind of like throw everything to the wayside and say, oh, you know, oh, that didn't work out. No, you have to celebrate it because you put time and energy and you invested, you know, you put effort behind it. So you have to celebrate it and look at, well, I didn't get there. Why? That's what you got to look at. Why didn't I get there? It's not that you couldn't get there, but why didn't I get there? And you have to make those necessary adjustments so you can get closer to it. And the same thing for each and every single goal. If you don't get it by that date, look at the outside circumstances of why you didn't get it. Were you invested in 100%, or did you know, or you play the blame game? So you got to look at all those things and take accountability.
Yeah, and that actually, I'm glad you mentioned that. That's one of the tenth success principle, right? Is having an attitude of gratitude and celebrating your successes. And it really should be the number one principle, right next to taking 100% responsibility. And really, you know, I like to play a game with my kids called BIG, which is Begin in Gratefulness. And even at the end of the day, if I'll do stories with them, I'll ask them, you know, tell me a couple of things you're grateful for, even if it's just silly stuff like chocolate pudding or whatever. But as adults, right, we really have to recognize, as you said, if we don't hit the date, you know, don't beat yourself up about it. You know, that's probably one of the major things I've seen showing up with professionals is that, you know, they'll beat themselves up and not you know, getting to where they want when. There's always a reason. And I love that you mentioned, you know, in that example, how, you know, once you lowered that target compensation to 90,000, that was more believable. And in turn, she could visualize and feel into that goal more so than she could a higher salary. And that really goes back to, you know, what this work is, energetic work, intuition. If you can picture it in your mind and conceive it, and really convince your brain and your mind that this is doable, then the how sort of just, you know, goes out the wayside. And we don't necessarily need to know every step in the journey, but we do need to at least lock in a vision that feels right, right? The feeling again, and that law, and activating the law of attraction.
Yeah.
So it's a great a great analogy.
Yeah, yeah, because what I wanted to add was, because I didn't mention it, but as part of it is you have the minimum goal, the target goal, and the outrageous goal. So for
right.
her, the target goal was, you know, hitting around 140. But what I mm-hmm. did was I shifted that into the outrageous goal. I made 90 the target goal, and then a minimum goal, you know, if she would have hit 80 or 75, then it would have been more of a minimum. But we've never even looked at the minimum, because the moment I put 90 as a target and she felt 100
right.
about that and excited, exactly. So we didn't even think about a minimum goal, the target goal. This is our new target goal. Let's just hit this. And she hit it in
right.
less time. And then all of a sudden she just, her momentum built. And then and she found ways on how to make it happen instantly.
Right.
So and then the outrageous
motivation.
Goal. Yes, and then the outrageous goal went from outrageous to the new target goal.
Right, a ball in motion stays in motion. And for those of you listening, be really good to yourself on what your goals are. You can still keep those, you know, out there, but scale it down if you need to. Which leads me to the next principle, which is believing that it's possible and really believing in yourself and locking that in and stopping the negative self-talk. That would otherwise bring you down. And so I know, you know, you talked earlier about our vibration and how everything is energy. But this really does, when you think about what you believe, because it's really about what you believe, you can have a cheerleader team, you know, cheering you on externally, but if you don't believe in what you want to achieve, then it really won't matter, right? It's that internal belief. And so, with this principle, what I often talk about, and I guess the best visualization is almost like, you know, when you think about the things that you want, you know, you feel high energy, positive energy, and then the self-doubt will creep in, and it's almost like the opposite wave. It is the opposite wave, and so it collapses that initial intention, that initial desire that you have. So, like, for example, if you say, I want to write a book one day, and that's your breakthrough goal, you'll immediately cancel it out if in the next moment or the next day you don't think you're smart enough to write a book, or you don't have the resources to write a book. And so now, you know, whatever you put out there earlier has now been collapsed, and it's just not there anymore, like, you know, in the universe. Where have you seen, you know, this show up, Antonio, for you?
I allowed other people's beliefs to become my beliefs. And then they just tormented me and controlled me for so long. And then later on, as I started developing myself and learning more skills, I realized that, you know, everything that we think, and so a thought that you think over and over and over becomes a belief. So that it's that chronic thinking. So you have to, once again, take account, inventory of all your beliefs, put them all down on paper. It doesn't matter what it is. Put it on paper. How are you think? How do you? What are you thinking about it? How do you feel about it? How is it impacting your life? What has it gotten you in life? Where has it taken you in life? And what's it going to continue to bring? And if it's not what you want, then you have to change that belief. Because until you don't change the belief is the recipe. You're going to continue getting the same old dish. And until you don't change that recipe, that dish is still going to be the same dish over and over and over in every aspect of your life. So if you don't feel that you're worthy, you're never going to get things for you to feel worthy. You're always going to get disrespected. You're not going to get the respect you want. You're not going to get the lucky breaks, the lucky anything. So until you don't change the belief of receiving, then you're not going to get it. So for me, it was huge because I had to change the belief of that I was worthy of receiving good things in life, that I get lucky breaks. And it changed and it happened because there are a lot of nice people that give of themselves and they're the nicest people. But if you try to give them something, they don't feel worthy of receiving. Oh, no, it's okay. You didn't have to give that to me. Oh, no, you didn't have to. They're not embracing the gift that's being given to them. They keep rejecting it. So there's that automatic rejection of I don't feel worthy of receiving.
Yeah, I love that you mentioned that because I talk a lot about that, ironically, in a module I covered called self-promotion, and that's accepting compliments. So if you don't accept a compliment, you know, in its purest form, right, and you say, oh, you know, that's not a true statement or that's not something I deserve, you know, you might just be thinking, I'm just saying the words to people, you know, just sort of let them know I'm not I don't know what might be going through your head. Maybe you don't want to seem like you have too much of an ego. I'm not sure. But really, energetically, you're telling yourself a story. You're saying that you're not worthy. And so the self-doubt does creep in. And so, yeah, we really need to be aware of the thoughts and the beliefs. So the beliefs, to recap with what Antonio just said, a belief is just a thought that you have over and over and over again until it becomes truth in your mind. And when I say truth, I do mean truth. It's as real as, you know, looking at, you know, a bowl on your kitchen counter. You know, to you, that bowl is there and it's sitting right in front of you. And, you know, it might very well be there, but it's also your perceived reality. And if you can just shift the thoughts, right, just shift the thoughts, then all of a sudden, you know, that bowl could be a bouquet of flowers. Or, and I do recommend, you know, you mentioned music. I do recommend, you know, pictures of great memories that you had to raise your vibration. And just think about how you felt in those memories so that you can, you know, really lift up your vibration. And when you're thinking about whether the things that you want are possible, you know, you're already in a really high vibrating state. Which leads me to the next thing, the next principle, which is, you know, really activating your intuition through the use of visualization. And I don't know how many of you have heard of the 17-second law, but there's a 17-second rule which states that if you can think of something consistently without having another thought for at least 17 seconds, you actually lock into your mind the visualization of whatever it is that you want. So this principle is really powerful because this is all, I would say this really is a fuel that you put in a car if you want to compare it, can't compare us driving in life. If you can't visualize and lock in your mind what it is that that looks like, so we talked about the how much by when, but now we're shifting to visualization and the ideal scenes that we want. This is such an important principle because it turbocharges your subconscious mind to activate the opportunities that you have at your disposal, literally underneath your nose, that you're not seeing because you don't have that visualization piece, you know, integrated with what that goal looks like. Now, Antonia, you know I do a lot of work around intuition. It's what Gutsy Leadership Foundation is about. And, you know, to really relate that here, it's as simple as, you know, when you get that impulsive thought and you have an intuitive hit, what I like to call an intuitive hit, that's when all of a sudden, you know, you get ideas and activate resources of people to bring things to your life to help you achieve that goal. But you really can't get there if you don't have these ideal scenes in your mind and the visualization, as well as affirmations, which are so key. What kind of work have you done with affirmations and visualizations with your clients, Antonio, and how do you see that showing up powerfully?
Well, on the affirmations, I like finding first their strengths and what they're strong about, what they're good in, and so I can reaffirm and strengthen that, because by doing that, I keep them at a high energy place and we continue using those things. And the things that they're not as good at, or they would find as weakness that they can improve on, we will gradually bring those up, and we use words that feel good, because you don't want to use words that are going to cause a negative vibration or cause you to feel less than and weaken your vibration. So I keep them at a high energy place, and then from there we'll go straight into a visualization, because the energy is high and it can match. I don't like to have them using affirmations that they don't believe and say, okay, now let's visualize. It's not a good transition. So I keep them affirming things that they're good at, that they're strong at, good experiences from the past, or to reaffirm their past successes and past wins, because from the past, then I can bring it into the present. Now I could go right into the future with a visualization. So talking about the 17 seconds, if you hold a thought for 17 seconds, what you're doing is you're building momentum. Now you'll multiply that by another 17. I mean, add another 17 seconds. You go to 34, then 51. When you hit the 68-second mark, that's a full minute and 8 seconds that you're holding that thought, that energy, that vibration. Now you're building momentum into something. And now that's going to take you into a different level. So for anyone that's listening, whether you wanted to buy a pair of shoes, a car, a handbag, a watch, and you really just hone in on that, how good does it feel? How good would it look on me driving it, wearing it, using it, smelling it, tasting it? Right there, I mean, you'll go past the 68-second mark, and especially if you're very passionate about it, excited about it, and eager and in anticipation of receiving it and being it, doing it, having it. Now you've allowed that thought to go into the universe, and then the universe will deliver it. But the problem is the problem is, you know, people can't get to that place of visualizing like that, because even before that plane takes off, what they start doing is, oh, well, it's too much, or I can't afford it right now. They automatically think that it has to come by their own doing, by their own hard work, their blood, their sweat, their tears, like, oh, it has to be by my effort. And it's not. Because someone can gift it to you. Someone can, all whether it's a gift all of a sudden, or you receive a, because everything is a gift at the end of the day, right? Given to us by the universe.
Right. That's right.
So whether if it's somebody that said, hey, I got this on sale and, you know, I don't need it anymore. Do you want to buy? You get it for half price or a third of the price, or whatever the situation may be, things can show up your way, as simple as a cup of coffee or even a parking space. You go somewhere and the mall's crowded and somebody just pulled out in front of you. You pull right in. You didn't have to walk, you know, to 200 car lengths because it's 90 degrees out and you're like melting, right? So it's very simple.
Visualize the parking spot.
Exactly.
I visualize parking spots all the time.
And they're great successes to do, which will lead you to that. So be mindful of holding a thought. If there's anything you're going to do, visualizing is holding a thought 17 seconds, let it compound to the 68-second mark, and do that with anything. How you want your day to go, how you want it to flow, whether at work, your coworkers, your boss, your kids, whatever it is, because when you're being deliberate with your energy, you're telling the universe, this is how I want it to play out. But if you don't, you go into default, and it's going to play out however – however else anyone could be dictating your day for you.
Mm-hmm.
Whether your kids want to drive you crazy, the boss drive you crazy, your employees are driving you crazy, that's what's going to happen.
Yeah, and even taking that one step further, I found that writing things down of, you know, what that looks like. So what does your perfect day look like, or what does your perfect home look like, or what will this conversation look like if you know you're up for a really difficult or challenging conversation? You know, writing it down also activates that 17 seconds up to the 1 minute mark, because, you know, if you're journaling something out, just getting your thoughts on paper, right, you're also focused, and the focus drives and triggers the visualization, it focuses the affirmations. And if I understand you right, Antonio, I love the perspective that you gave to this one principle, which is the visualization and the affirmations, in that you mentioned activating the five senses. So if you're just focused on what something looks like, that's one sense, right? The seeing and the vision. But mm-hmm. but what about if you're thinking about what something tastes like, or what something what you're hearing and what you're touching? Like, what does all of those senses kicked in look like? And so I think that with all five of our senses, and as you know, I like to focus on the sixth sense, which is the gut instinct and intuition. Mm-hmm. So if you take the five senses and the sixth sense, now, I think it's pretty easy to see how we can lock in the image of what we want, because now we've gotten so much more emotion, right? It's almost like, you know, when you jump into an ocean and you actually feel the ocean surrounding you in that water versus looking at a photo of the ocean, right? Very different things. I'll give a quick example for me. I've always loved to kayak, and so kayaking is a nice way for me to feel. And I used to have pictures of me on a kayak, or just pictures of people kayaking. And then I remember one day I pulled out a picture of someone sitting inside a kayak. And so you don't actually see the person, you just see the front of the kayak. And I remember how I felt so different. I could almost feel the river around me, because now I'm being hugged in this kayak that I'm only seeing the front of, right? But that's really what I would see if I was on the river. I wouldn't see myself in a whole kayak. I would just see the top half. And so just taking a photo like that can put you in a place where it's so easy to get to that 1 minute mark, right? Because now you're visualizing it. And as far as affirmations go, the other principle in this system is the thoughts and the statements that you say to yourself. So as an example, you know, I am creating a leisure vacation kayaking, or I am going out on, you know, five vacations a year with my family, or traveling to whatever destination that you want, whether it's Hawaii or whatever, and really keep repeating those affirmations so that it locks in, again, getting back to locking into our mind through whatever means possible. So thank you for reminding us of that, because I don't think we always recognize, you know, we're so focused, again, on what we see in front of us, but we have all these other senses that will accelerate the images, right, and really make them present for us.
Well, 1,000%. That's really key. It's very important, because your senses are there for you to interpret, and I know I go a little further out there for some people, but people will get the understanding of this, because everything, in my opinion, is energy. Everything is vibration. Your senses are there for you to interpret that energy, interpret that vibration. So when you can interpret that through your senses, now you have a deeper understanding, and you could get even closer to the experience.
Yes. Yes. Almost like virtual reality, right?
Exactly.
People love virtual reality. Yeah. I love that. Now let's talk a bit about the next principle, which I absolutely love. It's taking action, inspired action, not just any action. So what that translates here in our shoes is taking gutsy action, or what I like to call those gutsy moves. And gutsy moves and inspired action is not jumping off cliffs. It's not, you know, quitting your job. It's not, ending an engagement. It's not selling your house because you're not happy with your neighbors. It's taking small, subtle steps in your life based on what you believe would be the next best possible action that would help you get closer to your goal. And so, you know, a lot of that is fueled by fear, right? We haven't mentioned that yet, but fears are very present in our life. You know, the number, couple of number one fears that we have that drive our decisions is fear of rejection, fear of looking foolish, fear of failure, right? All of those three fears are stopping us from taking action and acting on the thoughts that we know intuitively, right, from that sixth sense, that will be good for us, and yet we hold ourselves back. And this is actually where the magic happens. So far what we've talked about here, Antonio, is all of the mindset work, the energy, the visualization, the affirmations, the gratitude, right, celebrating ourselves. But now we're moving and shifting to the actual doing and taking action, because it's not enough to have feel-good thoughts. It's not enough to be positive. You have to act on those impulses, and you have to really step into whatever comes up for you. So on that, I'll turn the floor over to you, Antonio. What do you feel, what has shown up most powerfully when you're taking inspired action in your life?
Well, I'm sure my experiences, and one thing I want to tell people is that most people think that taking action is a physical thing, like you have to go do something, and it's not. Thinking about something is actually taking action, because it starts first in the mind. You have to see it first in the mind. When you see it in the mind, one of two things is going to happen. You're going to go engage, and now you will physically take action to make it happen, or you won't. You made a conscious choice not to take any action, and now you're still thinking about it. So now what you're doing is you're negative goal setting on how it won't happen. I won't do it. I can't do it. I'm scared to do it. They're going to make fun of me. What are they going to say about it? Now you're taking action, mental action, on not getting there, and you're going to stay stuck there. So I want people to understand that mentally, that's where the action starts first, through the thought.
Mm-hmm.
Through that thought, that's going to give you either inspired action to go and make it happen physically, to bring it into a manifestation, or the action of fear, of doubt, of criticism, which is uninspired action, and it's just going to keep you in a stuck place. So for me, once I realized that, listening to my intuition, because in life, I feel like inspired action is the best action to take, because you're going to be guided through all the steps. But also, to force yourself to take action on doing something, you have to be mindful of that, because you can set yourself up for disaster, meaning it could be a bad day, it could be an injury, like trying to force a situation, forcing the round peg into the square hole and trying to make it happen. And then that's why, you know, you hear of people saying, well, I've been trying to do this for X amount of years, and then finally one day it happened, because they were trying so hard, they were looking more at the problem instead of the solution, and then all of a sudden, boom, the solution showed up. It's because finally there was a vibrational match, and there was inspired action, as opposed to they've been trying, because they were trying to prove a point. But when they finally gave up and the resistance was no longer there, now they were able to make a vibrational match, inspired action showed up, and the answer happened. And it's like, so for guys that are listening, and women too, because it's not just men, but the women also, you ever try to put something together, you're fixing something, and it just won't go together, and you've been trying for an entire hour, and you're just frustrated. You put it down, you walk away, you go do something else, and then you come back to it, whether the same day or the next day, and you get it within 5 minutes, and you're like, oh my God. It's because you let go of resistance, of trying so hard. Then you came back and you put it in, you got it together, you're like, oh, that was easy, because there was no resistance involved. Your energy was clean, it was pure, you were vibrating high versus you were frustrated, like, oh, I got to finish this, I got to accomplish this, I got to get this done. It's frustrating me. And that's what happened. You weren't aligned. The moment you have alignment, everything happens.
Yeah, and so the inspired action is really, as you say, coming from, you know, the first, from your mind of what you believe, and eliminating those negative thoughts. And I love that because it isn't really about the doing. It's about even as simple as eliminating those negative thoughts so that then you could actually go out and do something. But it has to really come from you. And walking away, I'll just add, is I love that example because when we walk away, we're walking away from the force field of energy. You know, you're literally leaving the room and you're leaving that force field. And now you're coming back in a completely different vibration, even though you're the same person. It could be the same room and it could be the same project that you're trying to fix. But now you're coming at it from a different level and frequency. And so that's why all of a sudden we get those aha moments of, oh, my God, I can't believe how easy it was to actually put this together because you've left and you've stopped that resistance. You know, you didn't give up. You just let go, walked away, came back with high intention, but, you know, really low-level resistance so that now everything sort of breaks through. And that's really how breakthrough is happening, right? It's not so much what we're doing, but it's lowering our resistance. And I think that's a key point. So I'm glad you brought that up.
Letting go.
Which is doing. It's just mental doing. Mm-hmm. It's more of
that's
the mental
action,
state.
Yeah. Letting go, yes.
Letting
1,000%.
Go.
Letting go is actually taking action and saying, okay, I'm going to relax. I'm going to chill out for a minute. I'm going to put my point of attraction on something else, whether it's something as simple as putting on a program that makes you laugh, music, a piece of cheese, a piece of chocolate, wine, dessert, a beer, a stroll, a nice shower, just something to take your mind off of the current action that you were just engaged in, because now you change the energy and you let go. And then all of a sudden you recharge, you come back, and wow, it happened. Like
I love that.
It wasn't magic.
And it wasn't magic. And it's actually one of the exercises in the program, which is the joy review, really looking at what brings me most joy. Maybe chocolate brings you most joy, as you said, or a piece of cheese. I love wine and cheese. You know, maybe that was what brings you most joy. But a lot of us think, oh, my God, I'm on vacation. I'm on the beach. And they feel guilty about it. They think, wow, you know, I'm not doing anything. But, yes, you are doing. You actually are doing.
Yeah.
You're letting go, lowering your resistance. And now when you go back, from vacation or back to your, you know, whatever your normal day-to-day is, you're so refreshed energetically that and your vibration is high that you've actually done a lot of work on vacation, right? You've cleared the clutter. And so I do want to mention that to our audience because I know that it's so easy, and I include myself in this. It's easy to fall into that trap. We are so focused on doing on a day-to-day basis versus being, and it can be as simple as unwrapping that piece of German chocolate, which is my little, my personal little pet peeve.
That's in your arsenal. That's your go-to, right?
My go-to. That's right. That's my go-to.
Something I want to address that you just mentioned, and people feeling guilty on vacation or guilty doing anything. So for your audience, I say the moment guilt comes up, really look at that and dig deep into that, because if you're feeling guilty, that could stem from a childhood experience or even adulthood, because, you know, it just carried over into your teenage years and into your 20s and 30s, and it's there. You had a negative experience where someone made you feel guilty about doing something, enjoying yourself, obviously. You were having fun, and somebody said, no, you can't do that. And that's a stronghold. So if you're feeling guilty, relaxing for an hour on the beach or two or 10 or whatever it may be that it is that you're doing, really look at that and where did it come from? Who imposed that belief on you? And you have to neutralize that and get rid of it, because if not, then every time you do something that you want to enjoy yourself and relax and you can't because you feel guilty, oh, I'm taking up too much time, or my kids are waiting on me, my husband's waiting on me, my boss is waiting on me. You have to cater to yourself and take care of yourself and give yourself that me time, pamper yourself. It's very important that you do that. When you don't do that, what happens is you're not allowing yourself to re-energize, to recharge, and to be present for each and everything that you're going to do and for the people that are in your life, especially, you know, and most importantly, yourself. Because if you don't do that for yourself, then you can't be for anyone. And what's going to happen sooner or later, your energy is going to keep lowering, lowering, lowering. You're really not going to be in a positive state. You're going to be more in a neutral to negative state. And that's not a good place to be at, because then you're allowing negative experiences to flow into your life. And you have to be mindful of that, because guilt is a negative emotion. Being depressed is a negative emotion. Being frustrated, you know, so all these negative emotions that are it's just one huge ball of negative energy is all there. It doesn't matter whether you're at the highest point of negativity, where you're anger, frustration, revenge, or the lowest point where you're just sad or not feeling well.
Right.
They're all negative emotions. So you're going to run to experiences that are in that playing field. You can't expect to be happy, joyful, and exhilarated. They're not in that playing field. They're on a different playing field. So you got to be mindful where you're at. If you feel guilt, why do you feel guilty? Let's neutralize it. Let's get rid of this. Because if not, you're going to internalize that. And then you're really not going to enjoy yourself. Yeah, you went to the beach, but or you went anywhere, and so you don't want to feel like that.
Right.
So I just want to add that for your audience, that if you feel guilty doing anything, it's very important that you address that, write it down, where did it come from, and dig deeper into it, so that way you can just get rid of it once and for all.
You know, thank you. And it's it really does, as you say, it shows up everywhere. So it might show up on vacation, or it might show up of you taking a lunch hour off of bed, right, from your day, or just enjoying a movie that, you know, you never really see a movie. It really does show up in other areas. And I'll just say, you know, it doesn't, a lot of times we don't even know where it comes from. And I really don't focus too much on the why, although it's nice to know why. You know, it could have come from something from childhood, or as you said, your teen year. If you can't figure it out, that's okay. Be really good to yourself. And there are lots of exercises, things that we cover here at Gutsy Leadership Academy in the curriculum, you know, to clear that, to clear the energy, and to really, just move forward. You know, you don't have to, you know, be a detective and go back in time. I'm sure your family would, or friends would be glad to tell you where all it's coming from, right? Misery loves company sometimes, but that's not really important. It's about going forward. So thank you for honing in on that, because guilt, I think guilt could probably just be a whole program in itself, can it?
Oh, most of us have that coming in.
Yeah. Well, let's just talk about, you know, some of the other principles in the program here. As far as reaching our breakthrough goals, which is so key, and one of those is really asking and welcoming feedback. I'd say feedback is, you know, probably the most crucial F word that you want to have present in your life, because if you don't ask for feedback, you really can't course correct. And I'll just share a quick story here with feedback in my life. I'll share one professionally. I remember I was doing a large presentation for a women's group in corporate, and halfway through my presentation, the projector broke, and I was no longer able to present my slides. And I remember my energy dropping because I didn't have the support system of technology. However, I quickly course-corrected. It was actually a scenario that never happened before. I course corrected, and I decided to continue on the last half hour of that program reading from my notes. I did have, you know, some notes at the podium, and so I was still able to go forward, but not using the technology. And that was a big stretch for me. It was something that I hadn't done before, but I was able to course correct. And the feedback, and that's really where this principle comes from, the feedback was so crucial, because what I learned from that one experience is that my presentation from the audience was that they actually preferred when the projector stopped working. They no longer wanted to read my slides. They just wanted to hear my stories. They just wanted to hear what I had to say. They wanted the content, but they didn't want to read. And that's a really important point, which I'd like everyone listening to this podcast to apply to their own life. Think about the relationships that you have. Think about your children. Think about your business partner, your clients, anybody, any relationship in your life. Ask for the feedback and ask them, you know, what is it that you don't know that you should know to improve the quality of the relationship, or improve how you deliver that presentation, or whatever that might be. Have you seen that show up powerfully for you as well, Antonio?
Oh, totally. I love feedback. Feedback for me is, like, I call it constructive criticism. like most people do. I love the feedback because through feedback, it allows you to, again, I go back to sports. So I would always love when someone was, like, whether my a coach, assistant coach, or a senior player on the team was giving me instruction on how to make the move better so that way I could apply and do and play better. So whether it was holding the ball a certain way, holding the bat a certain way, so that way you get better performance. Because everything in life is a performance. Everything is a performance.
Right.
And to the level that you perform is going to dictate to the level of pleasure you're going to experience in life. So feedback is amazing, and you can always get in. And I would say don't just go to anyone for feedback. When you want feedback, you have to get it from – I mean, obviously from if you have an audience, it's great. Listening to, you know, to your audience is amazing because you get nuggets of information there. But also from people that have what you want. And if you can have the opportunity to present yourself to the people that have what you want, then they can give you greater clarity because they've been there, done that, and now you're getting it from both sides of the fence. Now, you know, you're not only your clients, but also even from more sides of the fence, from three ways. Like you have your clients, you have your also your peers, and then you also have your people that you look up to that you want to work with or that have inspired you. So by getting that from as many places as you can is very important because it allows you to see where you can improve and where you can hone in on or where you're doing really, really great. And so feedback is always, I think, so huge. So for your audience, I would say don't be scared to get feedback because feedback is going to allow you to perform better. It's going to tell you where you have to improve, make that adjustment, tweak it, and now go implement it so to see what that result's going to give you. Because until you don't do anything about it, then you're going to continue doing the same old performance. And if you're not happy with that performance, then guess what's going to happen, you know?
Same old results, right? Equals or equal
out. Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And I get, a lot of us, I love feedback too, but I have to say there's inevitably some fear around it because you're sort of like holding your breath to hear the feedback and you're wondering, are they really going to tell me the truth? Is this, I mean, obviously, you know, your personal relationships, hopefully your family, they'll always be honest. But I'm talking even on the professional front, you know, when a person goes in to meet with their manager, they want feedback. Or you mentioned sports, you know, maybe talking to your coach and getting feedback. How did I hold the bat? How did I, you know, hit the soccer ball? You know, there's, you know, let's just be really good to ourselves here. Feedback is so important. It's why it's one of the key success principles that we teach. But it's also, there's also some fear around it. You know, and it's okay. It's only because we are waiting, you know, with bated breath to hear what that feedback is. But whatever it is, whether it's good feedback, well, it's all good feedback, but whether it's something we have to change, then, you know, really think the process. Thank the person giving it to you, whether you want to verbally say that or just in your mind, because now they've just gotten you so closer to whatever that breakthrough goal is so that you can refine and course correct it. You know, you have to start somewhere. There's always that one surgeon right out there in the world right now as we speak that has just performed his first operation, and he's not going to tell, you know, the patient, you know what, you're my first surgery. But, you know, as he does more and more, or she does more and more surgeries, you know, they get the feedback. And hopefully it's positive feedback in the world of healthcare. And I'll just close here, Antonio, with one of the final principles, success principles, which is practicing persistence with patience. And the gutsy leadership world that I teach and lifestyle that's really, you know, changing how professionals show up in their lives, it's really asking for what you want. And what I like to say is asking for the yes. And really, you know, continuing to go in there and being persistent. That doesn't mean being aggressive. It doesn't mean being ballsy. It doesn't mean being gruff. It means practicing persistence and just giving, you know, until you actually hear the word no or stop, you know, really don't assume radio silence is no. Don't assume that people who aren't getting back to you is no, the follow-up. And I think, I don't know if this shows up for you, but I'd love to hear how you relate to this principle, but I know that a lot of us get impatient very easily. And I think the fact that we are so impatient in this day and age feeds into why we're not persistent enough when we should be. How do you feel about that?
So to me, practice persistence with patience, my interpretation of that is staying the course of your objectives, number one. Patience, for a lot of people, they don't hear the word being patient. Automatically, what's going to pop up is being impatient, because we live in a world now with technology that it's fast. It's now. Make it happen now, 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 now. And what they're doing is, yeah, make that happen now, but what's happening is they're missing the now. They're not engaging in the now. They're not enjoying the now, the process, the journey between here and there. So when you look at your persistence, stay the course. Patience means to me is enjoying the journey between here and there. Be present in the now and everything that's happening now that's going to lead up to that. So if you can do those two things, being staying the course on your objectives, but also enjoying the now, because as you enjoy the now, you're becoming a new person. You're developing new skills. You're becoming smarter, wiser, greater in other areas of your life. But if you just want the end result without missing everything in between, then you're still going to be the same old person, because you're not going to have the necessary skills or the mentality, the attitude, the energy, the character to hold what you just asked for. Because if that was the case, you would have had it already. And since you don't have it, it's because you have to become a new person. It's who you become in the process of getting that. That's what's more important, because then you can sustain that vibration. You can sustain that energy, because becoming something, so it's like, I want to become a champion. Okay, you get it. Now sustaining and maintaining being a champion is a different energy and vibration.
Right. So yeah, I see that all the time.
Yeah, because a lot of people say, I'm going to get that. Then they get it, and then they fall right away because they didn't see it. They tried to take shortcuts.
Yeah, and I think that's an amazing point. I thank you for mentioning that, because I think it's so easy for us to become just thinking about the win and what we want to achieve and just checking the box versus really enjoying, persistence is not, just checking the box. It's enjoying the journey while you're there and being present. I know you mentioned that a few times, and being present. And it's really challenging in this day to be present. Being present is as simple as looking at, something, having a cup of coffee and being present to the fact that you have 5 minutes to enjoy that cup of coffee in peace, in quiet, in total tranquility before your day starts. And that's how you can be present. So it's a key distinction, being persistent, not just persistent with your goals, but being practicing persistence in who you're being every day, and being really intentional about what you want to create and how you want to create it in your own motion and rhythm. And everybody's rhythm is different. I've worked with people that are very quick, and that's just how they go. They're very fast oriented. Everything is go, go, go. But they still can get to where they want to be. And then there's people who like to take their time. They'll still get to where they want to be. There's no right or wrong. Everyone has a different rhythm.
Yeah.
But the persistence is whatever feels right for you, right? Whatever feels right for you.
Exactly. Yep.
So really staying in the course. Yeah. I want to thank you so much for joining us, Antonio. I know that with your work, especially with the law of attraction as a life coach, you've brought so much to light in the message here that we have at In Our Shoes and Gutsy Leadership. I'll just close here by asking, just to hear your take on it. How do you hone your intuition in your life? What is one, if you had to name something in your life that you do really well to kind of invoke that sixth sense where you just know? Is there anything specific that you do? In my case, I've mentioned this lots of times on the community. Water is a very strong vibration, and so for me, I'll go near any body of water. that really helps me tune into my intuition and my, because it's really hard, right, with all the noise around us. Is there anything specifically that you recommend to those listening of how they could, you know, just one way that they can hone in on their intuition so that they know they're taking the right path and making those gutsy moves?
Getting to know yourself, date yourself, spend time with yourself. That if there's
I
something,
love that.
Yep.
Date yourself.
Yep. Date yourself. You know, tell your husband, your wife, your significant other, your kids, your boss. I said, yeah, I'm going out tonight. I'm going on a date. Who are you going with? I'm going to date myself. Spend time with yourself. I swear, it's a wonderful thing to do, because when you spend time with you, you want to get to know you, because the you that you are now is not the same you that you were yesterday, let alone 5 years ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago. And when you start looking at yourself, and once again, I love saying this, taking inventory, taking stock of who you are, you start realizing, wow, I still believe that. I still do that. And when you start realizing that, so one question I always have for my friends, family, clients, I always say to them is like, so I'll ask you this. So we're going to do a live coaching, a lightning round right now with you for your clients. So I'll ask you, Marissa, the woman that you are today, right, is a completely different woman that you've gone through the years, right? High school, college, so forth and so on.
Yeah.
Would you date the same people you dated in your teens and 20s today?
No, not at all.
You'd like probably slap yourself. Like, what's wrong with you?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we were just different people. Right. So if I hear you right, and this is really comes full circle, it's really really incredible that you are saying that, you know, the dating yourself is one of the most powerful tools to tune into your intuition, because it really does tie into what I will shout from the rooftops, which is self-awareness, really knowing who you are first, not what other people say who you are, but who you are first as a person, not as a career professional, not as a husband, a partner, a sister, a daughter, a son, really who you are. And just, you know, getting that me time. So that date with yourself,
exactly.
It can look like meditating in your car if you have to, if you don't have your own space. You know, I remember lots of cafe lattes I've had in my car right before coming home from work. I'll sit in my car because I know opening that door, I have a whole new set of challenges for the night with my children. And so before entering into that, I used to sit in my car for 5 or 10 minutes and just drink my coffee, close my eyes, relax, and be so I can be completely present to a new relationship that I'm about to have, you know, coming home. So, you know, for all of you out there, I know you might be thinking, you know what, it's not that easy to get me time. It's not that easy. Well, schedule it. Tell your husband, tell your wife, tell your partner, your friends, whoever that might be who's depending on you, and let them know, you know what, once a week I'm going to be doing this, or I'm going to be doing that. And it could be something that, you know, as we talked earlier, doing something that brings you love and joy. It could be as simple as eating chocolate on the beach or looking at a sunset.
Raise that energy.
But really, raise the energy and really get fierce around your time, because your time, a great quote that I live and breathe by is, if you don't have any oil left in your lamp, you have no light to shine. And that's really true. If you have no light, you know, oil in your lamp, then you cannot help and serve other people in this world. And at the end of the day, yes, we have our gutsy breakthrough goals, but, you know, first and foremost, we have to make sure that we're taking care of ourselves first. And so, so ending on that note here, I thank you. That was a grateful gift to hear Antonio, as far as honing our intuition. So for all of you listening, I want to thank you for listening to this podcast and the Gutsy Success Principles that we teach. And I know, Antonio, that you've given a ton of value inspiration of what this world really is that we're in, and how we can create even bigger and better things for ourselves in our life.
Yeah.
So thank you.
There's infinite possibilities. Get out there, get it done. Date yourself. Self awareness. Take accountability. Jump on these principles. go get some me time, and you'll see how everything will start changing, and just a little at a time. So, and listen to it over and over and over, and implement.
Yes, it's all about implementing, right? Not just feel good advice. Don't let it become shelf help. Want to make sure you really put it to work.
That runs out. You need a game plan. No game plan, then
a gutsy game plan.
Yeah, get that gutsy game plan going. I love it.
Thank you so much. So much. I had so much fun doing this with you. All right, everyone.
We'll
I will see you. Yes, we shall. I will see you all in the community, and please make sure to leave your comments below. We'd love to hear from you. All right. I'll talk to you soon. Bye now. Bye, Antonio.
Take care.